Thanks be to God for his word. Come on up, Dave. I know you got a portable mic, so you're probably going to stand over there somewhere when you talk rather than behind here. It's my pleasure to introduce Dave Harder to Appleby this morning. He works with the Parish Collective and the Appleby United Church, the Vision Lead Team, has continued the work of the Loving God, Loving Neighborhood project that Appleby, you were a part of through Halton Presbytery. And so Dave is continuing this work with those congregations, and we're excited to hear from you today about pressing the reset button. Please say hello to Dave after church and ask him any questions you may have during coffee and tea. And let's give a warm welcome to Dave this morning. Thank you.
Thank you so much. I believe I'm on?
Yep, you've got the full 30 minutes.
Thank you. Awesome. He just told me I got at least an hour to talk here, and this is great. just kidding. It's wonderful to be with you. As you said, my name is Dave Harder from Ottawa, and drove in last night. Excited to be in Toronto when there's a game on tonight. The energy is, we are the North, is exciting. So I want to feel that and participate in that. It's hard not to be a sports fan with what's happening. Thank you, Ellen and Appleby, to be in this space. We're in these times that are changing. And I was yesterday in Kingston with, you can go to the slides, with over 100 church leaders who were sitting in a room discovering what it looks like to be the church. And each one was sharing the challenges and the anxieties and the worries and the fears about what it looks like in our current cultural moment to be the church. I often say, if we continue to do the same things, we will manage the decline of the church over the next 5 years. There needs to be an adjustment. There needs to be a shift. We can't just do the same things and expect our neighbors to come into this space. I often look at my own neighborhood, and the last thing my neighbors are thinking about on Saturday night is where they're going to go to church on Sunday morning. That narrative is not in their mindset. The consistent theme I hear in churches across Canada is people are tired, anxious, worried. We come out of a time of Christendom where there was this natural narrative where people responded to and came into faith and church and community. But that's not what we're experiencing now. Low attendance, building fatigue, low volunteerism, aging congregations, and the list can go on. We look around and we wonder, will we exist 5 years from now? So there needs to be a shift. I find that whenever there's a shift culturally, it allows us to ask, I think, some really important questions. When we can ask the right questions, I think we get to amazing solutions. But it does take the right question. And I look at the text that was read, and I'll get to it a little bit later. You can go to the next slide. Next one. We're going to ask the question, I want to ask the question to you, why are you here? Why are you here? Why does the church exist? So Ellen said that you do this thing where you turn to one another and it's interactive. And so I want you to turn to your neighbor, maybe groups of three, maybe just turn to your neighbor and ask the question, why are you here? Or why do you think the church exists? Because I'm pretty sure it's not because you like committee meetings, as important as those may be. I don't think that's why you're here. So why are you here? Ask that to the neighbor beside you.
Thank you.
All right, 30 more seconds. All right, yell back at me some of the things that that you said. You can totally tell on your neighbor. They said this. What were some things? Habit. Interesting. Music, friendship, support. Because we need it to grow.
Outreach.
Nice. Come on, outreach.
I want to hear Barbara sing.
Want to hear Barbara sing. Nice. Come on. Positive message. Yes. Church family. These are great things. Keeps us in the faith. Here's the challenge, is whenever we see decline, aging congregations, low volunteerism, we tend to look inward, and what happens is instead of focusing on the soul, the why in which we exist, what often happens is we ask these kinds of questions. And I would say they're the wrong questions because they don't get us to the right solutions. You can go to the next one. We ask questions, one more, like how do we grow? Can we get more butts in the seat? How are we going to get more people here on Sunday? We ask questions on how much money is coming in and going out. We ask questions of how do we manage our building? The next one. We ask questions about how many volunteers are serving, or I love this one. We ask questions about how we can say no. Whenever something innovative or someone has a new idea, we find creative ways to say no. Or the last one, how do we stay the same? Maybe you can think of other questions that you are asking that may fit into these categories. Where are the kids? How do we keep young people? And these questions will never get us to where we're called to be the church, which is viewing a fabric of love and care in the neighborhood. So how can we move our questions from church questions to God or neighborhood questions? Now I'm going to pause. We're going to think about this story in Acts. These people are animated by the Spirit, which you're going to celebrate starting next week as we enter into Pentecost. And these people are gathered and they're animated by something that they've experienced of the divine. But when they are animated by the presence of the Spirit, what do? They begin to go out and live a certain kind of way. And it says that the people were in awe of these signs and wonders, these miraculous things that they had done. Now, I don't know about you, but what I do is I go, what are the signs and wonders? And I go to, as someone who's type A and energetic and animated, I go, it must have been something amazing. So I think it must have been these grand miracles and these extraordinary acts. But when I look at the text, it actually says what the signs and wonders were. And when I look at what the signs and wonders were, I'm going, if this happened in our community, it would be a miracle. The first sign and wonder, it says they were all together and had everything in common. They were united. I'm going, if that happened in my neighborhood, in my church, that would be a miracle. They weren't divided. They had this sense of togetherness, this sense of unity. And it says that they shared with whoever had need. I'm going, oh my, if that happened, that would be a sign and a wonder, a miracle, this essence of coming into a space and whoever had need, that need was met. The text goes on to say that they met not just on Sundays, but it says they met in homes every day. They loved being together. They didn't just come away into a space and sit in rows, detached from one another, but they had this web of love and care around tables and homes. What would church be like if you actually were friends? Meeting not just on Sundays, but in homes. A sign and a wonder. And you know how they knew they were doing? It wasn't that they were growing. That was a tag. That was an add-on. And they grew. People were added to their number every day. But why did they grow? I love the phrase in the message. People liked what they saw. People liked what they saw. So the question I have for Appleby United is, if we're to go out into the streets, into the community, into the neighborhood, and ask what goes on here, and ask, do you like what you see? My hunch is most people would go, I don't know what you do. What if we lived in such a way in our communities and our neighborhoods where the people in which we're engaged with would say, I don't know what goes on inside the building of Appleby United, but those people, I like what they do. I like who they are. I like what I see. So what questions should we be asking if we're moving from church questions to God and neighborhood questions? Maybe this would be a better one. What is God up to in the neighborhood, and how can we join in? God's at work. God's doing stuff. I believe he's an active presence in the world. What is God up to in the neighborhood? And how can we join? We need to know the needs within our community and how we can respond. The second one, what kind of people are we becoming? When you look at Acts, it says that they were generous, filled with joy, compassionate. What kind of people are we? Do we smile? Are we joy-filled? Are we generous? Are we authentic? Are we compassionate? When you go around the neighborhood and inhabit spaces, whether it be coffee shops and going to the grocery store, we do things in a week. We go places. Are we doing those with intentionality? Looking around, being a loving presence wherever we go. The next one. Are we finding ways to say yes from no but to yes and? Can we empower innovation? Because here's the thing. Brené Brown, in her recent Netflix episode, said, if you're not prepared to fail, you will not innovate. Can we be okay with failing, okay risking? What's the worst thing? We try something, it doesn't go but we learn. And then we try and we adjust, we do something else. Can we be a community that says yes to new ways? The reality is we don't watch TV the same way we used to. We don't listen to music the same way we used to. We have different mediums. I don't remember the last time I went to a video store to rent a movie. Things shift, change. How do we change as to what it is to be the church? Are we listening without agenda? The next one. Are we listening? Are we going where people are and asking questions? Are we curious? They say that culture is more spiritual than before, but they're less religious, meaning they don't like the institutional spaces in which church is. But what if we went and asked them what their needs are? What if we listened to their stories and heard what they wanted? Because often we have the church we want, but it's not necessarily the church others are interested in. Can we listen? The next question is, who is missing? Who's not here? Just look around. Who's not here? Instead of who is, which is great, let's be that family together, but who's missing? And what if we design things for who's not here versus who is here? The last question. Do you just live here or are you a neighbor? There's something about place and the spaces that we inhabit. John McKnight, does asset-based community development posed this question. He says, do you just live here or are you a neighbor? He says, for a neighbor, it is about contributing together for the well-being of people and place. We love the place in which we're in. We love this neighborhood. We love the people that inhabit this place. And when we can be neighborly, we can go into our context, we can leave this space, and we can love our neighbor. I think someone really important said that. What is the most important thing? When asked, he said, love God and love your neighbor. And those things are fused together, that the way in which we love God is we love our neighbor. So how we know how we're doing is how neighborly are we. The question that I want to ask one more time to turn to your neighbor is, what are we hopeful for? We can sit in questions of lament and worry and anxiety, but I think we are given an incredible opportunity in culture. We face extreme isolation, massive polarization. And I think the church has a huge answer to what the world needs. But that answer is not going to be met in here. It's going to be as we go and be a hope for those in our community. So I ask the question, what are you hopeful for? What are you hopeful for? Those responses as to why you're here. But let's end with the question, what are you hopeful for? So turn to your neighbor and ask, what are you hopeful for? 1 minute. So get talking. What are some of the things that you're hopeful for? Don't be shy. What's that? Peace. Yeah. What are some things you're hopeful for? What's that? Stability. Yeah, there's not a lot of that. Someone said something over here. Tolerance, acceptance. Yeah. Yes. We need it to stay open, don't we? Yeah. What else are you hopeful for? Yeah, families that can come and, yeah. I'm hopeful for that.
As you grow older, you look at health.
Yeah.
That's extremely important.
Yes.
And as you look around,
good health.
You see the few people that are a little more than 21 or 31.
It's true. It's true. So we hope for health. What else?
Help people get to know us.
Help people get to know us. Yes. Because I think you're great. They just got to know us. I want to end with a story. I was in North Bay consulting with the church and went out for dinner with a couple and asked him his spiritual story, which I often do when I'm out with people. And he began to tell me how he was in a community that he didn't know anyone, and he had had a job and was loving and enjoying it, and his job had ended. He had lost his job and was in a pretty low place. And he thought, you know what? In the state I'm in, I should maybe consider church and attending church. And he woke up one Sunday and he walked in, fascinating, but the doors of Appleby United. And his spiritual story linked back to this place. He walked in those doors and he was welcomed. It was a space where he found belonging and loved. And he, in his state, felt that he had found home. And I thought it was timely, as I was coming here the next week after, that someone in North Bay had found home and acceptance and belonging here. And I think there's something that we can take from that. He was asked a question from someone in the congregation, what does God want for Appleby United? And he wrote this long kind of story as he thought about what does God want for Appleby United. In his response at the end, he says, in conclusion, what I found at Appleby United was friendliness, caring, a non-judgmental attitude, a tolerance, as you said, of different beliefs. So what does God want for Appleby United? I believe that it is these qualities, with a particular emphasis on friendliness and hospitality. I believe that you are that hospitable people. But what we need to do is imagine what could it look like if we took the hospitality when someone comes into the space out to the neighborhood. What if we reimagined again what it was to be the church, not a church in a building, but the church in a community? What would it look like to reimagine what it is to be the people of God in the everyday of life, like the story of Acts, where it's not the extraordinary, but it's ordinary things done every day with God intentionality? What if we included people around our tables, met with our neighbors, and told them that the reason we do what we do is because of our connection to God and our love for one another? This quote I'll end with. Go to the next one. One before, there's a lengthy quote that I have in there. I'll just read it. Oh, you won't be able to see it anyways. So listen. Our homes are to be hospitals, refugees of healing, radiating the light of heaven. And our dinner tables are to be operating tables, the place where broken souls are made whole again. In our churches, people should find rest from their battle for acceptance and release from the lie that they are nothing more than the goods they possess. When we lower our defenses, when we remove our facades, and begin to be truly present with one another, then the healing power of the gospel can begin its work. The invitation for us is to be those kinds of people, that the neighborhood, looks on us and says, I don't know what goes on in that building, but I like what I see. I work with Edge and the Parish Collective on coming alongside churches as they shift into what is possible, the new ways of being the church. So my hope is to journey with you together as we can discover what it is to live into the hopes that each of you have, to find the soul again of why we're here, and to invite others into this amazing journey of being the church together. As you have a picnic next week, go out in your neighborhood and invite those in.